Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is the Todd Albaugh Show. It is Thursday, isn't it? The 17th of November, 2022. And we are welcomed by the wonderful, the talented, the effervescent Pat Kreitlow from Up North and Up North News. He had this time slot, and now he has moved on to bigger, better things because it used to be he had a small, but he was a part of the Civic Media Network. Now you can hear him throughout the entire Civic Media Network from 6 until 8 a.m. Every weekday morning right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We welcome in Pat Kreitlow.
He's everywhere. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm okay, but I got to say, this is really early for me. This is early for me to be doing this at 8. This is the little behind-the-scenes thing that people don't know about radio. My 6 to 8 show is a hologram. I record that stuff, you know, in the afternoons, and then Aaron hits the buttons, all the right buttons at the right time. So for me to be here live is pretty impressive, I got to tell you.
It is. It is. Pat's actually sleeping between 6 and 8.
Oh, yeah. It's the way of my people, meaning the advancing elderly, you know, that I've become.
Come on.
No, I have really enjoyed the 6 to 8. Plenty of people had said, you know, why are you getting up that early? And I tell them, I'm 58 years old. I'm waking up during the 4 a.m. hour more often than not anyway. So I may as well be productive during that time. And, you know, when you have somebody like Aaron as a partner in the producer chair and, you know, the good guests that we are fortunate to have all throughout Civic Media, it just makes the show that much easier and rewarding to do.
Absolutely. And how long have you been doing Up North News? Because this is not something that you created for Civic Media. Your show and what you were doing preceded the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the chance to tell that story. So Up North News Radio on Civic Media debuted the first week of August. So we've been around for, you know, about 3.5 months here. And Up North News itself is coming up on the end of our third year. We're about to finish our third year of operations. We started the 1st of January 2020. And we are, Up North News is, again, a separate entity from Civic Media. We are an outlet of Courier Newsroom. Courier Newsroom is a national progressive newsroom that has 8 state-based newsrooms around the country. Wisconsin is one of them. And so I co-created Up North News with the Courier Newsroom folks 3 years ago so that we could provide some fact-based news that also operated under a set of values that we were very upfront about. And so to now see folks creating Civic Media and a set of radio stations doing the same thing for news and talk throughout the broadcast day all across Wisconsin instead of its biggest cities is fantastic, because then we get to find people like you in Richland Center, you know, Kristen in Milwaukee and others who are going to be coming on board and finally bring a voice to the rest of Wisconsin that people knew. They knew there was this niche in the media landscape, and Up North News and Civic Media are happy to finally be filling that.
That's one of the things that really excites me, Pat, about this network and about having someone like you on board, who is a professional journalist who was on the air for how many years in the Eau Claire market on TV?
Well, I anchored the 6 and 10 o'clock news on Channel 13 in Eau Claire for just about a decade before running for legislature in 2006, and then was on several radio stations around Wisconsin prior to that. So I'm a radio rat by trade and happened to fall into TV and legislative work after that.
But you have a great resume in that you have that broadcasting and journalism background, and then you were successful and you were a state senator and you were on the inside and in Madison. And so you have both sides, right? As a journalist who asks the question, and also knowing what it's like to be a legislator who, you know, you may not always want to answer the question. And now you bring all of that to Up North News. So I think it's a great kind of peel back the onion behind the scenes show that you can see and you can tell people both sides of that.
As you mentioned on my show a few minutes ago, it's really something to be in that closed caucus. We are used to, as journalists, that, you know, meetings have to be open and that there are very few instances where, you know, politicians, including the majority of a body, can meet, you know, behind closed doors. And you and I have told stories, you about the Republican caucus, me about the Democratic caucus. Some of them we might share publicly at some point. Others should just stay between us. And they are fascinating. And I will always say, before people go and trash all politics and all politicians, that there are so many good people running who actually give a damn about public service and who say great things in those closed caucuses. And sometimes their ideas come to light and sometimes they don't. And so the job was more rewarding than not, but it's the times it was not that make for the best stories.
But you were, again, though, you know, I was there when I worked for Dale Schultz. You were the state senator on the other side, technically, but you're one of the Democrats. You said there are people on both sides, maybe not so many now, but when you and I were both at the state capitol, you as an elected official, when you were one of the people on the Democratic side who was willing to reach across the aisle, if it made sense for Wisconsin, you were willing to work with Republicans. And I wish there were more people that did that today.
Yeah, there were definitely more rank and file who got along well. And as I've said several times, not literally, there were more than a couple of my own fellow Democrats that I would push in front of a bus before I would certain Republicans.
Keeping it real. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News. Pat, thanks a lot for being on this morning. We look forward to doing this more often. People can listen in 6 to 8 a.m. for Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day, Pat.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. The wonderful town of Pat Kreitlow. When we come back, we're going to give you a little bit of what do you need to know for the day. And then we have Christian Jensen coming up from Egypt. Thursday morning across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah, this is the Todd Allball Show. Welcome back. I'm your host, Toddy Allball. Toddy, Toddles, Toddo, whatever you want. I'm here. And so is our wonderful and talented producer and engineer, Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, how are you this morning?
Doing pretty well today. It was nice, as we talked about earlier, have the show live again with Pat.
Yeah.
My morning feels a lot more productive when I am doing things, believe it or not.
Yeah. I was running a tad late this morning. I usually like to get here by 6:30. It was closer to 7 by the time I got here. I just kept hitting the snooze alarm, and I'm fighting this darn kind of head cold things. I have an appointment to go in to see my ear, nose, and throat doctor on Tuesday, and he's going to redo the tubes in my ears. It turns out there's actually nothing in my head. it's all air up there, but no, they're going to try to, I have a tube in my right ear, and it's all plugged up, and it's messing around with me, so I'm going to try to get that sorted out on Tuesday, so bear with me, folks. As my voice and everything is a little messed up right now, but hopefully we'll get that sorted out. So I slept in a little bit. I had a frozen pizza, a glass of wine, and watched my new, I guess, favorite program on TV on CBS. It's called For the Love of Todd. Is that it? Todd is in the title. That's part of why I like it. So Help Me Todd. That's what it is. So Help Me Todd. That's the name of the show. And it's kind of this guy, he's been in and out of work and he got into some trouble and he works for his mom, who's a big time lawyer. And then he kind of is a self-taught private investigator and chaos ensues. So it was a nice episode. There's a new episode tonight on CBS after Ghosts, another great show. So that was my night of, frozen pizza, a little wine, and a little So Help Me Todd. And then I made it to my bed tonight. Well, the night before, of course, I passed out in my chair, just tired. And I made it to the bed, so I slept all right. And here I am for a Thursday, and we have a great show ahead for you on the Todd Allball Show. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, very excited to welcome back and to talk to a longtime friend of mine, Christian Jensen, who is a special envoy to Denmark, not the town, but the city. We have a town of Denmark here in Wisconsin, but the country, I should say. He is a former foreign minister of affair, foreign affairs for Denmark, was a minister of finance and a minister of taxation and a member of parliament from 1998 to 2021. And he is now a special envoy for Denmark to the UN and works in the climate change industry, wind power in particular. He is in Egypt right now for the UN Global Conference on Climate Change, and he has been so kind as to join us live at the bottom of the hour. He was also in the country here in the United States during our midterm elections and kind of as an election observer. So he's going to give us always good, I think, to take a look at ourselves and our country, our business, whatever it is, and hear someone else's perspective, right? We tend to look at our own country through rose-colored glasses, and that's okay. But I think it's also healthy to get a view from afar sometimes. You know, someone who's not inside a relationship, inside a job, to kind of bounce things off people that you know and trust. And Christian is one of those for me. So we are going to talk to Christian Jensen from Denmark at the bottom of the hour and get his opinions and insight on the elections, the midterm elections. We talked to this kind of dovetails nicely because we had a caller yesterday from Richland Center, Ryan, who called in and reminded us that it is International Student Week. And indeed it is. In fact, it is International Education Week around the country, designated so by the U.S. Department of Public Education, or of Education. And so I want to remind people that if you would like to have an opportunity to host a foreign exchange student in Southwest Wisconsin around the Richland Center area, or probably they can help you do it wherever you are, whether it's Amory or Wausau. It's a great program. You can call them at 608-383-3445. Wait for you to get a pen if you want that number again. It's an opportunity to host a foreign exchange student in your home, and you have the opportunity to talk to people, to meet someone new from a different country, and maybe visit their country in the future. So again, if you want to do that in Southwest Wisconsin, the number to call is 608-383-3445. One more time, 608-383-3445. Ask for Ryan or any of the fine people there.
I do believe that is Ryan's personal. I mean, I don't know if it's like his personal cell phone, but it is his. It is at least his number at there, if nothing else.
Okay,
so
well,
that should go directly to him.
Thank you for telling me that, Aaron. And he could probably help you out though if you're not in his area. He could hook you up with someone who is. But that was really how Christian and I met. Was through I'll talk about this a little bit more at the bottom of the hour, but through the German Marshall Program, which is funded through the German Marshall Fund post-World War II, kind of to promote a greater understanding between European countries and the U.S. And he was on this exchange program and came to the United States. And I was helping out Scott Klug at the time, working for him, and was in charge of placing these students and journalists and politicians in farm families for a farm night stay here in South Central Wisconsin, and then kind of toured them around and gave them a sense of what it's like to live in Wisconsin. It was a great program, and we've stayed in contact ever since. I've talked before about hosting, or our family hosted, three different exchange students at UW Richland from Belize, Mike Martinez, and then Rolando Fajardo. Isn't that a great name? It's like a soccer name. Rolando Fajardo. He's a great guy. Still friends with him. He's from El Salvador. And then Silas Baye, also from El Salvador. And so I've ended up going to El Salvador 39 times over 20-plus years, 25 years or so. And my life would be dramatically different had our family not hosted those exchange students back in the late 80s and early 90s. So I would encourage everyone to at least think about it, to learn more about it, to see if it's right for you, and consider hosting a foreign exchange student, whether it's at the high school level or the college level. I know also at Richland Center this Friday, tomorrow night, they're having an opportunity for you to come and visit with some of the foreign exchange students at Richland Center High School tomorrow evening. I believe that starts at 5:30. I'll find out again for sure. In fact, I could probably pull it up on my phone if Toddy is proficient enough at that. This is real time. Todd trying to look at his phone real time. There we are. It is International Night. That is tomorrow, starting at 6:30. All right, I was an hour off. So tomorrow, 6:30 at Richland Center High School and Large Group Instruction Room in the West Commons, you're invited to experience the diverse cultures found right here in Richland Center. Did you know there are international students from over 15 different countries attending Richland Center High School this year? That's amazing, isn't it? A town of 5,000 people. The school district goes outside of the city proper, so I'm not sure exactly the enrollment of Richland Center School District, but to have students from 15 different countries in Richland Center High School, think about the experience for those kids from Richland Center.
That's impressive, yeah.
I mean, when I grew up in Richland Center, so I graduated high school in 1988. We may have had two or three students from like Germany at the time. We had one minority family that actually lived at Richland Center in our entire school district. That's how lily white it was at the time. So to have the experience of having someone who doesn't look like you, who doesn't sound like you, to learn about where they come from, you realize that our country and our world is actually much smaller than we might think. And there are so many more commonalities that we share despite our language difference or skin color difference. And I've said this before, if you know someone in a foreign country, let alone a different state, but if you know someone in a foreign country, when the news stories come on, whether it's about Panama or El Salvador or Ukraine or Germany or Denmark or what have you, when there are news stories from that country, you look at them in an entirely different light, because it's not just there's the news. It's, I know that person. I'm concerned about that person. It's the same way if a tornado hits a town or a village where you know someone. You don't think about the tornado so much as, is that person okay? It makes the entire experience, the entire news story, personal to you. And so that's what happens when you bring in foreign exchange students from different countries to these small towns like Richland Center, like Amory. Wausau is a little bit bigger town, but still, there are parts of Wausau that are very rural. And when students have the opportunity to learn this, it's life-changing, right? So I would encourage people who are listening this morning to check it out, to find out how you could get involved in a hosting a foreign student. And as Ryan said yesterday on our show, there are opportunities if you don't have the ability or just don't think that it's right for you to host a student for an entire semester or an entire year. You could be part of a welcoming family, part of a mentoring family. Maybe you meet with a student or have them over once a week or once a month for dinner, or maybe you help show them around the area. It's a team effort and a group effort. And on the flip side, because I've had people tell me this who are foreign exchange students, the more people that they experience, the more they get out of it. So if you live with the same family for the entire time and only associate with them, you're only getting one viewpoint if you're a foreign exchange student. If you have other people who you're associating with, who you're going to dinner with, who you're going on hikes with, you're going to get a different flavor and a broader flavor of what it's like to live in the U.S. and be an American. Because as we know, surprise, surprise, we don't all have the same viewpoint. We don't all look at things the same. And that's okay. That's what makes us uniquely American, is to have this melting pot of different folks and different ideas, different faiths, some no faith at all, but we bring this unique experience. The things that bind us together are things like liberty and democracy and the ability to get ahead, although those things aren't always working, and there are some people who are being left behind, and we have to recognize that and do better. But as a whole, as a country, we're still admired by a lot of folks. Is that changing? Is that perception changing around the world? We will ask my next guest, Christian Jensen, special envoy to the United Nations and also a foreign or a minister of foreign affairs for the country of Denmark, and his take globally on the United States, democracy itself. Do Europeans think that the U.S. is on a downward trend, or are we coming back? These are important questions, not just for us, but globally and around the world. Stay with us on a Thursday. You're listening to the Todd Hallball Show. Christian Jensen is our next guest. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. Whether you're in Richland Center, Wausau, Amory, or streaming our show with via the Civic Media app around the world, we are happy that you've joined us today and in on a Thursday morning, November 17th, about 8:33 local time here in Wisconsin. But speaking around the world, we zoom through the magic of Zoom around the world to Egypt. That's right, in our very first week. International guests, my friend, as we go around to Egypt right now live. Joining me is a guy that I've known since 1998, and he is one of the coolest people that I know, and sometimes a long time can go by, and we don't necessarily chat, but then when we see each other, it's like it was yesterday, and I think that's a sign of, like, really good people in your life that you know and trust. And I'll just go ahead and introduce him. His name is Christian Jensen. He has so many titles that it fills up a page, but his current title is Special Envoy to Denmark. He is a former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Finance, Minister of Taxation, and a Member of Parliament in Denmark from 1998 to 2021. Christian Jensen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Klaus. It's a pleasure being here. And great to see you again. It's been a few years since we've seen each other.
The last time, I'm going to take a liberty for a second if I can. I'm going to tell people the last time we saw each other was 2016. And Christian was Minister of Foreign Affairs, which for those of you who are not familiar, is equivalent to our United States Secretary of State. So Anthony Blinken is our current Secretary of State. At the time, it was John Kerry. And so Christian was at the UN General Assembly representing Denmark. I had my coffee shop at the time, and I said, we hadn't seen each other in a long time. I said, I'm going to make it work. So I flew in to New York, and we decided we were going to meet at this hotel lobby in Manhattan. And so, you know, I got suited up, and I'm waiting in the lobby. And I've been around politics long enough that I kind of know when something big is happening, because I saw a lot of men and women in suits with, like, earpieces and talking into their sleeve. I'm like, somebody big is going to be here soon. Pretty soon this huge motorcade pops in, and lights, sirens, you know, people get out, an entourage, and there is United States Secretary of State John Kerry walking through the lobby about 20 feet from me. And just as he exits the lobby, coming through the doors, here's my friend Christian. And we greet each other, and I said, oh, my God. I said, were you with Secretary Kerry? And he says, no. He goes, I was with him yesterday. So, I mean, I looked around. I said, don't you have an entourage? And he goes, yes, I do. And I looked at my way out, and I said, guys, I'm going alone. And here he is, Minister of Foreign Affairs from Denmark, alone. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm with, you know, this guy is big time, you know. And I'm thinking, well, where are we going to go for dinner? You know, probably someplace nice. He wants to go out. And he said, Todd, I've eaten things all week that I can't even pronounce. I just want a beer and a hamburger. So he found some little bar in Manhattan and sat there and drank Sam Adams and had hamburgers for 3 or 4 hours. And it was fantastic. But the setup, I wanted to set that up because here's someone who's reached the highest level of government in Denmark. And he's just a normal guy. He's just a normal dude with three sons who wants the best for his family. And these are the type of people that we need in leadership around the world. So, I don't know. It was a great night, Christian. I enjoyed that night.
So did I. It was fantastic. And the fun part is that John Kerry is actually here in Egypt right now. I'm at COP27 because I'm working with the climate issues as well. So we're here to follow the negotiations. And still, again, when John Kerry is coming, it's a huge entourage.
Really?
Lots of guys, lots of people talking with to their sleeves with earpieces. So nothing has changed for him.
But you still remain a cool, just a cool guy. And the thing about you I love is that you bring that real person perspective, right? As a parent, as someone who loves your country, and no matter how far up a government you've gotten, I mean, people, you were in line at one point to basically be the next prime minister of Denmark. You were at the highest levels of. So tell people, what party do you belong to in Denmark, and kind of what is their ideology, so people know what the lens is that you look through things.
Denmark has a European perspective on politics, meaning that liberal in Denmark is not liberal in the US sense, is more in the British economic sense. So I would be a moderate Republican or a moderate Democrat. On abortion issues, I'm definitely pro-choice. On economic issues, I'm for tax cuts. So in American politics, I would be somewhere in the center of many of these issues. I'm a huge fan of decarbonization of the economy to have a good public health sector. So in the Danish perspective, I'm center-right, and I do believe that the best politics agreement in Denmark is done bipartisan. And when I was in office, both as Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Finance, most of the things I did was bipartisan. Not very much was solely on the right side of politics in Denmark, because it made sure that the agreements I made stuck and continued to be there, even though I left politics now.
And I think that's so brilliant, because from when you first came to the U.S., when I first met you in 1998, I think you're right. You would have been considered a moderate Republican by U.S. standards at that time. If you apply your same, you haven't changed in all those years, but if you apply your same politics and your stances to U.S. politics today, I would say you'd be a moderate to conservative Democrat. I mean, pro-choice, in favor of gun control, a huge believer of climate change and wanting good environmental policy, but, you know, someone who believes in controlled government when it comes to taxation. That's essentially a moderate Democrat today.
That's true. When we first met in Wisconsin all those years ago, I definitely saw myself as a moderate Republican. But looking at the American politics right now, I would definitely say I'm a conservative Democrat, because there's so many issues. You mentioned gun control, and you could also say the debate about same-sex marriage, the debate about the COVID-19 virus and how to tackle it. There's so many issues where I see the Democrats being much more aligned with my opinions. And I don't think that I've changed over the years. So American politics has changed. The mood and the center of the gravity of American politics are different now than they were 25 years ago.
And that's really why we've talked about this program before, why I left the Republican Party in 2011, because it just no longer represented what I believed and who I am. And I just couldn't, you know, I'm fine with inter-party debates, but they're the fundamental tenets that you've already talked about. Those things have changed, the Republican Party. So I really don't belong to any political party. I vote Democratic these days. But, you know, it's as you said, you haven't changed.
No, to me, it's so amazing that the same state that has elected John McCain over and over and over again now had Kerry Lake running.
Right.
The same Republican Party. Well, it's not the same, but in paper, it's the same Republican Party that were nominating and backing John McCain when suddenly backing Kerry Lake. And two more difficult, different people to watch at is difficult to see. So that's a perfect picture for me that something has changed dramatically in American politics. The idea of having a win-win situation where political parties or politicians are working together to for the best of the country has been a win-lose situation, where if you win, then it must mean that I lose, so I will never let you win. So it's more interested in bringing people down than in lifting politics and visions up.
Absolutely. I mean, when I first got in, it was about you had a hard campaign, a fair campaign, but you fought hard. You wanted to beat the other side. Now, so often, it's you're supposed to destroy the other side, and so that their voice isn't even heard. And I just don't think that's healthy for any democracy. You were here, Christian, last week for the midterm elections. Were you here as an election observer? What was your role, and what's your takeaway from the results from the U.S. elections last week?
Well, I was not an official election observer, but we were there to follow the election and to see what are the new trends within campaigning, what are the new trends about use of data, what are the new trends in how to reach out and persuade people to vote for you, but also because the American politics are so important on everything else that's happening around the world. And what we can see about the war in Ukraine, what we can see about the fight with China, what we can see about climate change, we are so dependent in Europe at what's going on in the U.S. So a group of people who was actually very bipartisan, there were some who were to the left side of the Democratic Party, and there are some who were true heart-believing Republicans. We all got together and set up a program where we were in Washington, D.C. We went out to Richmond. We had talks with think tanks, with journalists, with economic experts about what is happening in U.S. right now. We sat at the American Enterprise Institute for their election evaluation to hear what are the takes about this result. So we came out there to try to understand what is actually going on. I think there's many Danes, and I'm definitely one of them, that are truly in love with America. We love the country. We love the greatness there is about U.S. We love the diversity there is from state to state. And we love the way you have been pushing the agenda, fighting for values around the world. But that, even though we love America,
go ahead.
We are a bit concerned right now.
And that's I wanted to ask you that. First of all, let me just say this. So before I was doing this gig, I was working at a retail place as a manager called L.L. Bean. And this is about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. These two tall, good-looking guys come in, and they're doing a postgraduate degree at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And they're going camping. And they're the nicest people. And they're like, but they clearly had an accent. And I said, oh, you guys, where are you from? Denmark. Both from Denmark. And I said, I knew that. And so I told them the story. And, you know, so a friend of mine, Kurt and Florcy, took a trip to Europe this summer. And they were on a boat between France and Germany somewhere. They met this Danish guy. And so Kurt texted me. He goes, what's the name of your friend in Denmark? I said, Christian Jensen. And so they tell this guy on this boat in Europe, he knows you. He's like, oh, my God, Christian's a great guy, you know. So, I mean, Danes are beloved. Of all the people that I've met, foreign people, you cannot go wrong with a Dane. You guys just have the greatest personalities. You're generally upbeat and just the friendliest people. So the respect and the admiration is equal. But let's get to the point that you hit on. And we just have a couple of minutes before the first break, and we can pick it up after the break. But what is your is the United States still a player? Because a lot of people we hear here is, oh, post-Trump or during Trump, Germany kind of stepped into that role as the leader of democracy around the world. Or is there another country? Or is the U.S. still a vibrant place to look up to?
I think that you're like the big brother that one hates to love and loves to hate, because you are the only country that has the military muscles, the economic muscles, and the diplomatic outreach to really lead the world. We know that Germany would like to do something, but they've been lacking the military muscles. We knew the UK had that, but it's going down the drain with the economics. We know that France is too much France to be really a world leader. So therefore, the US are still the only one. And when I have been speaking also to very long-time Republicans, they're longing for the U.S. actually to come back and play a role, not being Trump, but being Reagan. being the country that is really leading the world, the values, being that shiny city on the hill that people aspire to be like. And I do believe that U.S. still can play that role if enough Americans will push the politicians to take the right decisions.
That's a great perspective. And when we come back, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to follow up with Christian on some of his travels, some of the people that he has met, and also his take from the climate change conference that he is at in Egypt right now. My question is going to be, is there even hope? Or are we just screwed? You know, that's as far as climate change. I think he'll give us some hope. But when we come back, more with a special envoy to the UN from Denmark, Christian Jensen. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show that is the boss, Bruce Springsteen. Turns out one of Christian Jensen's favorite songs. Christian Jensen, special envoy to the UN for Denmark and former minister of finance, former minister of taxation, former minister of foreign affairs, all around important guy from Denmark and also all around great guy, joins us live from Egypt at the UN Climate Change Conference. I didn't know you were a big Springsteen fan.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy. I love the voice, and I love that. And he's a bit older than I am, so his life changes, and I can find some resemblance of what he has been doing. Also, the aging he has. So I think there's some good years to come ahead.
Absolutely. He has a new album out. I haven't listened to it yet, but he just had a new album come out, so I'm anxious to listen to that. Christian, I could sit here and talk to you for 3 hours over coffee or a beer again, but our time is short, so I'm going to do kind of a speed round for you, if we can. Trump and Trumpism, he announced he was going to run again for 2024. Your quick take on Trump announcing?
Well, first of all, I think that he's primarily announcing to get rid of the judicial accusations against him. Because I don't see any road for him to win again. And he hates to be a loser, but I think he hates more to be in jail. Coming from Europe, we have a very negative view on Trump because the way he just dished all the cooperation that's been between Europe and the United States. Denmark has been one of the countries fighting together with you guys in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and still he trashed all what we were doing together. So in my view, it would be bad for the Republican Party to choose him again. It would be good for Biden and the Democratic Party because then they have a candidate that they can beat. So let's see what's going to happen. I actually hope that both the Republicans and the Democrats will find younger and more dynamic people to run for president.
You actually met Biden. I remember what you told me you were. You actually called him president by mistake, right, when he was still vice president?
That's true. I was speaking at the UN General Assembly, and Obama was chairing the meeting in the beginning. So in my notes, it said I should address him, Mr. President. So I did. But when I looked up, I saw that it was Joe Biden sitting there, the vice president. So I had to grab it in the air and say, well, perhaps at some point you will be. And I met him afterward, and we spoke, and he didn't hold a grudge on me. And as you know, I was right.
You were right. You were prophetic. See, it was just prophecies by Christian Jensen. You've met with Vladimir Putin's foreign secretary, correct?
Yeah.
So you've as your former role as foreign affairs minister. Did you ever meet Zelensky from Ukraine?
No, unfortunately not. At that time, he was just an actor, a comedian.
Right.
And he was not a politician. So I met with his predecessors, some of the guys before him, Porochenko and the other ones. But Zelensky is a huge role model in what he's doing. I met with Sergei Lavrov, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Secretary of State of Russia. And he is just what he looked like, a big, grumpy old bear trying to scare people. And I think that's part of the Russian tactic. They're trying to scare people. And if you get scared, they'll just continue to push and push and push. So even though he has around 100 pounds on me in weight, I just had to push back, both physically and verbally, in order to have a constructive conversation.
What do you think the end game is in Ukraine? How do you think that ends based on your experience?
If the U.S. and Europe continue to build up on Ukraine's defense and continue to supply the weapon, they will have the stamina to fight and to push Russia back. Whether they will go all the way back or whether they will accept that the most eastern part of Ukraine is too difficult to get back, I cannot say yet. But they will continue to push the Russian back, and therefore we, the Europeans and Americans, must continue to provide them with the money and the weapon they need.
So we have a couple of minutes left, Christian, but you're there for a climate change conference in Egypt. Tell us what's being talked about there, and is there hope? We hear so often that we're just kind of, there's no hope, the world's going to just burn up no matter what we do. What things are being talked about, and what sort of hope do we have for the future in terms of climate change?
We're talking about how to speed up the green electricity, the green energy, and there's a lot of ideas on that. And then we're talking about how to help countries that are affected. A country from Asia, Pakistan, more than one third of the entire country was flooded this summer. Amazing to believe that one third of a country could be flooded, but it was. So there's a lot of countries that need help to adapt to climate change. The optimism comes here. The optimism is that a lot of companies, American companies, European companies, is actually charging the climate change fight right now. I've seen Boeing being here. I've seen Apple, Microsoft. I've seen European companies like the Volkswagen, the Danish company of Maersk, the great shipping company. Ørsted has been here. Vestas, the windmill producers are here. And they're all pushing to go forward. And what we can see right now is that clean, green energy from windmills and solar panels are cheaper than oil and natural gas. And that's also why a state like Texas has gone hugely into renewables. Even though we have a picture of Texas being the oil state, there are more people now employed in green energy than there are in fossil fuels in the state of Texas. So the optimism is in the business side. And if the business side can push politicians to make the right decisions, we can reach the goal of maximum 1.5 degrees warmer.
And isn't that kind of maybe the dirty little secret that some of these companies, the Texas oil companies, don't want people to know, is that they're following green energy? Because as my old professor in college used to say, he'd write a dollar sign on the board and say, it all comes down to that. So if green energy starts making money, they're going to want to do it, correct?
That's true. And right now, the green energy in Denmark is much cheaper than fossil fuels, whether it's coal, natural gas, or anything else. So the more windmills, the more solar panels we get up, the cheaper the energy bills will become. And what we can see still is that Danes are moving hugely into electrical vehicles, into heat pumps and other things. So the power industry will be huge in Denmark in the future.
Denmark is leading the country in so many ways. We got about 30 seconds left. Why is Denmark always listed as the happiest place on earth or the top five? What do you guys have that we don't?
We have a trust in each other. We think that when we meet our neighbor, even though we don't know him, we believe that he's a stand-up guy. We believe that women and men are equal and should have the same place in society. And that trust and that equality of being equal level is really necessary to have happiness.
I'm just happy talking to you, my friend. You're amazing.
That's great.
That's Christian Jensen.
So good to see you.
Great to see you. We have to do this more often, please. A special envoy to the UN for Denmark, Christian Jensen. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
We will. Bye-bye.
Right, take care. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.